By the precious blood. What a privilege it is to come again into your presence, to come to share and to receive this wonderful word of the living God. We come again with great thanksgiving. We honor you in our midst. We recognize our human frailties and inabilities, our shortcomings in the ability to both share as well as receive this word. We are acutely aware that without your help we cannot do it as we ought. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to share and receive your word tonight again, I, as the one under authority, I come stripping myself of every confidence I may have in my preparation, in what I know, what I prepared only. My confidence is in your mercy, Lord God, to use my preparation and what I know to bring forth this word by your mercies accurately, in power, in great clarity, and in the comfort and the love of your Spirit, so that, Lord, as we pray, as we speak tonight, Lord, that an eternal work be wrought in the hearts and lives of all those that hear the word, both here present, myself included, as well as all those who care by electronic means, that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power and your Spirit will back it, so that men will not be hearers only, but will be given mercy and grace to be doers of this word. And so be blessed in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be faithful. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I beseech you, Lord, as I empty myself of myself, Lord, let there be a free flow of this word from you through me. And by the power of the Spirit, Lord God, Lord, you will cause this word to go forth, to cut through to the hearts of men, causing our minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, our wills more humble, submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions be more controlled and tempered by the precious fruits of the Spirit, especially the power of love, in the name of Jesus. I also ask for you to help me to be concise, to be precise, so I will not say anything unnecessary, bringing forth from out of this treasure, the treasure of your word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the covering of my fathers, and their prayers have gone forth concerning this message. I humble myself and I duck under the anointings. I take upon me their mantles, so as I preach and teach and deliver this word, I will do so the same way they would have were they here personally. And I ask, Lord, help me to be faithful to this word. Lord, that I speak, let the power of God go forth as a river of life, bringing refreshing to all, but especially to them as they eat and drink of this vine they have planted. Let them be truly satisfied with the travails of their souls in me. I thank you, Lord, because you are faithful. You are not lied to David. You are well able to do more than we can ask or can think. We honor you in our midst as you come to reign tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. I want to thank God for the great honor, the privilege again we have to bring the word tonight. And again, church is also a word for our nation, Nigeria. This blessed land that the rivers divide beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And it's very, very important, in particular, in the light of the peculiarities that we know and see and we are as Nigerians. Amen. I've titled it Seeking Honor. Amen. Well, we all know or should know that in this land, Nigeria, we're wonderful people. A people scattered and peeled from our beginning, terrible from but we're wonderful people. Amen. We have a national pastime. And that national pastime is seeking the honor of men. Hello, somebody. Nigerians, maybe more than any other nation, I don't know, you know, but at least what I know is what I know about Nigeria. We love the applause and the praise of men. Hallelujah. We like that pride of life when we walk into somebody somewhere and, you know, everybody acknowledges and says, this is a great man. This is the one who has done it. There's none like thee. Amen. Everybody's looking at me funny. Am I the only one who has seen it? We love it. We, like the Bible says, flattering titles in Nigeria. It's a common thing in Nigeria. Just go any newspaper today. You will see at least one advert or the other advertising one icon of our time. Hello? Or you see one, the man of God for the hour. That's in the church. The sad thing is that it begins in the church and it seeps into the rest of the nation. As the church goes, so goes the nation. So what we see in the church, or in the nation rather, is a mirror image of what is going on in the church. We love the praise of men in the church. Rabbi, Rabbi. Amen. How many people know this is true? Even if you're not saying amen, I know it's true anyway. Because all you have to do is just look around. But that's the peculiarity of our nation. We love the pride of life. We love, like in Yoruba, we say, shiarimi. That means do so that we can see. Hello? And we're looking at me funny. It's like, uh-oh, he got my number. It's not me, it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I find it amazing that God will choose a nation like this that has this peculiarity. Now, all men are like that, but Nigerians, we specialize it. We love it. Amen? And it is this nation that God has chosen to bring forth the first of the first fruits of the perfect church. Seems almost like a paradox. You know, it's amazing. I was preparing this. God was just very gracious, just dropping scriptures into my heart. The first scripture he dropped into my heart was the one in Job. Give me Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32 verse 21. It's amazing that Job, in far back then, had far more understanding than many of the prophets and apostles, quote unquote, in the church today. Job 32. This is Job speaking. It says, let me not, we read it together. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. Who else doesn't accept a man's person? Who else is no respecter of men's persons? God. So he understood God more than we do in this particular era. Isn't that amazing? Let me not accept any man's person. Neither let me give flattering titles unto man. Hello, somebody. If there's one thing that characterizes much of the church today, not all. There's some people whose straight head, their titles and what they have, their honor is due honor. But he's talking about flattering titles, which means that when you say flatter means something that's not totally sincere. Hello? That's why I said flattering titles. Let's read the next verse before I make what point I'm trying to make. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. In other words, it's dangerous to flatter. That's a scripture. It's dangerous to give flattering titles, but the church, the present day church that is not doing what, this is where we excel most. Even people who have contravened the very laws of God, they still get flattering titles. They get a bishop. Come on. Says God doesn't do it. Why doesn't God do it? Because God cannot lie. And the Bible says in Proverbs somewhere, it says, if you give a person a flattering title, you're spreading a net under his feet. That's what it says. And that's what we love this. Anyway, the essence is, God is going to have mercy. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it wrong to seek honor and recognition? No. It's a God-given desire. God put that desire for recognition, that desire for honor, that desire to excel among your peers. And you know what? That's exactly what God intends for all of us to become. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 28. Hello? Martin Luther called it the drum major instinct. What's a drum major? You know when you have a parade? And there's this guy in the front, like the one that has a baton. We used to do it before. I don't know if they still do it now. Everybody's looking at me funny. I mean, when I was in primary school, in this very, even secondary school, we used to go to Liberty Stadium in those days. And then there's one guy that has the baton, this long thing, and he throws it up. Brrr, he catches it. And all eyes are on him. They're not even looking at people following. It's just that guy. That's what we want to be. That's the drum major. Every man has that instinct in him. Why? Because God put it there. God put that desire there. And it is God's will and desire for every human being to be exalted. Hello? Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. Deuteronomy 28, 13. And the Lord, now this is the promise that God gave way back then to the sons of Abraham. Israel says, and the Lord, let's read together. This is God saying. Now, God cannot write this without having put that desire there. And the Lord, and that's where the problem is, the Lord. Not man. I didn't see that. The Lord shall what? Make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be what? Above only. Not sometimes, only. And thou shalt not be beneath. If, and that's where it begins, that's where the rubber hits the road, like they say, the condition, if that thou hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. This is what God wants to do. But there's a conditionality, and God himself expects honor too. The Bible says, I be a father, where's my honor? Amen? So it's not wrong. But the question is not one of seeking the honor, but three things. One, of how we seek it. Two, the kind of honor that we seek. And three, from whom we seek the honor. So it's not the honor, the kind of honor, how we seek it, the kind of honor, and from whom we seek it. We're going to begin with the marvelous words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me John chapter 5, verse 39, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Are we following? We're talking about seeking honor. John 5, start from verse 39. Here the Lord is rebuking the Jews for seeking honor from one another and not from the God that gives, not from God only, or the honor that God gives. This is how it begins. It says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's saying, look, you say you believe in the law of Moses, and that's okay. Now, if you really believe in the law of Moses, if you really search the scriptures, you will come to the conclusion that I am he. And the reason was because he was there demonstrating the power, the glory of the Godhead himself on earth. Nobody else had done that. And he was demonstrating God. He said, look, everything you are looking for in the Bible, in the law of Moses, is in me. But you won't receive me. Let's read on. Let's go on. Search the scriptures. So next verse. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Next verse. I receive not honor from men. Are we all here today? You know, open your voice. Let your voice go out. I receive not honor from men. The answer to that question should have been yes. We'll leave that. I receive the honor of a man. Next verse. But I know you. Now this is the problem. I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Next verse. I am come in my Father's name. Now that's not saying the name. It's called in Father's character. He was the embodiment of God. He came and he demonstrated that he was God. First John says, that which you have seen, which our eyes have seen, which our hands have handled, of the word of life. He was God manifest upon the earth. I am coming, my Father, and saying to him, in the beginning was God, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And the same was manifested in the flesh. Hello, somebody. So he was saying, I'm God. You say you're looking for God in the scriptures, I am he, but you're not come to me. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you'll receive. We're talking about, this is prophetic too. Next verse. We'll stop there for a second. Next verse. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He was amazed. He was amazed. The Lord Jesus was doing mighty miracles. Eloquent testimony to the fact that he was with God, was with him, and God was working through him. Amen? So he said, search the scriptures. Look in the law of Moses. Everything you see there points back to me. But they just refused. The reason was because, you see, the Lord Jesus was so upset with them because they saw the evidence that God was working in them. But you see, they were not looking for God. They were looking for honor from men. So they missed God totally, completely, entirely because of the condition of their hearts. And that same thing is prophetic of what is going on in the church today. Amen. Says, how can you believe? Give me this, let's see now. So, verse 44. Give me this in Amplified. Let's see what it says. Help me, Lord. Thank you. So, how is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe It's an indictment. You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another, and yet you do not seek the praise and glory and honor which comes from Him who alone is God. It was an indictment. And the same indictment is going on today. There are many in the church today. Apostles, quote unquote, prophets, quote unquote, saints, quote unquote, searching the scriptures, reading day and night, going from church to church, from camp meeting to camp meeting, whatever they call it, looking for God, ostensibly. Seeking the God of the Bible, but rejecting the revelation of the Christ life that has been evidently set before them. Why? Because what they really want is not the things of God. What they are really looking for is the things that will fill their carnal appetites, their bellies. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Quickly. This worldly recognition is a big stumbling block to the church today. Not only to the church, but to Nigeria. We see that Nigeria, the nation, is simply mimicking what is going on in the church. Because the church is supposed to be a pillar and a ground of truth. So if truth fails in the church, it will fail in the nation. God forbid. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be ye together, followers together of me. This is Apostle Paul speaking. Among them which walk so as ye have us, for an example. Follow the right example. Next verse. Next verse. For many walk, not a few. Many, majority. Walk of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even that they are the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross which you must crucify yourself on by the power of the Spirit. They don't want to hear it. Too much. Don't put us into bondage. I didn't plan to say all this. Now go on. Next verse. Help me, Lord. Next verse. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Now that was what they're going to eat. It means just what satisfies their carnal desires. The carnality of their mind. Whose glory in their shame? Who do what? Mind earthly things. And yet, they're people of God. And yet, they've heard the word over and over again. How do you remember the first? What were they looking for? They're looking for something to make them feel good. Hallelujah. And, you know, bishop. Look, there's nothing wrong with bishop. It's just the way we apply it. Bishop just means overseer. When a person, God forbid, puts on the whole ecclesiastical armor. And he's a gab. I said armor. So then it's armor. It protects their status. Hello? Let's see. What was the first question the Lord Jesus asked the disciples? The ones who left John. Andrew and John. Say, what seek ye? What are you looking for? Why do you come to me? And it was because they sought where he stayed, where he was, who he was. They sought to unravel his dwelling place. It was a matter of time between that time and the time when he got the revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. If their heart was not aligned in that way, they would never have gotten the revelation. They would not have seen it. And there are myriads in the church today because of what they're seeing. What are we saying, folks? We're saying that what you believe of the scriptures, the word of God, is affected either positively or negatively by what you are seeking in your heart. In this particular case, seeking approval from man instead of from God. Amen? Prevalent in today's setting. Very much so, prophetically. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:16, they say, the scorner seeketh wisdom, but he won't give it to him. Proverbs 14:16, quickly. A wise man phrase, but the fool rages, and it's no. There's ways it says, the scorner seeketh wisdom, but he's not given unto him. Maybe I got the scripture wrong. Give me Proverbs 17:16, quickly. 17:16, quickly. Yeah, this is the one. Thank you. I said 4:16:6. Thank you. A scholar seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy to him that has understanding. But yes, it says that he's looking for wisdom, but he finds it not. His heart is not in it. Says his heart is not there. Give me, I want to compare that to Proverbs 17:16, quickly. Hello, someone. Proverbs 17:16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? He wants it, but he doesn't have the heart to do it, so God won't give it to him. Hello, someone. The Lord Jesus had the same problem in his time. He said, these people, they worship in their mouth, but their heart is far from them. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. It's very, very prevalent. And the reason is this, because the price of the wisdom, the honor that comes from God is high. The Bible says, straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. It's not hidden. It's just that when they come to the opening is tight. So they say, let me just leave it alone. It's not hidden. It's made evident. Jesus wasn't hidden. Jesus was evident. He was doing miracles that nobody else had ever done. But they saw him and said, this one. If I have to accept what he's saying. I have to accept all the hard words he's spoken against the present leadership. No. They're not going that way. So what they do, what the church does, and what has now spread to the nations, because they deem the price of seeking the honor that comes from God only as too high. It costs too much. It's too straight. It's too narrow. And so what they do, they just pluck the low-hanging fruit. You know, you have this mango. We used to have these mango trees in those days. You know, there's some mangoes up high on the tree. You know, Jesus, I used to eat in Oga. Pastor, you know, so he had one tree in Oga's house. When Oga is not around, we'll go there. We'll throw the stick. By the time you throw about 20 times, the thing doesn't come down. You just look at the one that's closest to the ground. You just jump. Let me just grab this one. At least we manage this one for now. That's what they do. Because the effort to go higher is too much. So they just pluck the one they can see. Take Bishop. Take the mighty man of God for the hour. Thank you. I'm telling you, that's what's going on, folks. The flattering titles that come from men. Amen. So you go to some places, and I've been there, I'm talking from experience, where they want to introduce the speaker. And believe me, you must not miss out one of his titles. While I did. So PhD took by Nick Cantab. You don't finish yourself. The only way you can say all protocols of Zion is somebody else has done it before you. Then you are okay. Because they have boofed the guy. You know, that was called pump up the volume. But if you are the first person and you miss what... you could be laughing. You have not been there. I can remember very clearly. This was years ago and it's been there for long. Pastor and myself and some of the others. Pastor took us to a meeting in a church in Kaduna. I won't name which church. And, of course, the MOGs, the big men of God, the prophets, they had gone ahead. So we, the young guys with the baggage, were coming behind the heavy men. So, of course, I mean, in scripture pasture, we are all brethren. By the grace and mercy of God. We be brethren. It's in the Bible. Say, call over your father. You see, we be brethren. We are brethren. So I walk, I'm carrying all the bags and everything. I'm walking after the pastor and, you know, and I saw this guy walking next to me. I thought he was bread. Like me. So I said, my brother, how are you? He said, pastor. I'm not being... I thought we were brethren. Oh, me pastor. You didn't call me pastor. Me, brethren. The guy was offended, though. I couldn't believe it. Because I thought everybody... was what we did in the house here is what everybody did all over the place. So I had to be like, I said, please don't be annoyed. I didn't know you were a pastor. But thank God, we two are pastors now. In those days, we're ordinary bread. But by the grace of God, the young shall grow. What am I saying? See, that thing is insidious. Now, is it wrong to seek recognition? No. Is it wrong to seek promotion? No. God is the one that gives promotion. The Bible says he raises up one and he puts down another. But God wants you to do it with understanding. He doesn't want you to just seek anything. Amen. He will never give you a flattering title just to inflate your ego. He will never do it. Not God. Now, okay, let's go back to John. So there's an honor that comes from God only, or the honor that only God can give. Amen. It cannot be duplicated by anybody. It cannot be faked. Hello. It cannot be given by men. Now, God can move men to give honor to you, and he does that. Amen. He can bestow temporal honors upon you. We saw about in Deuteronomy 28. Amen. So God does it. In fact, God is the one who gives all honor. Authorities, every authority on the face of the earth is appointed by God, one way or the other. Even the bad. Bible says he keeps the bad for the day of evil. So God is in control. He's got everybody in his place. But he wants you and I. You know, God can even appoint kings in opposition to his will. That's amazing. God is humble. God didn't want Israel to have a king. Like another nation I know. But they insisted, we want to have a king like everybody. Solomon said, you don't know what you're saying. God said, just leave them. They want a king. What I want you to tell them, all that king is going to do to them, all their daughters, their sons, their bakeries, he's going to corner everything for himself. I know, he's a man. Just let them know and then give them the king. But that wasn't God's will. But God humbled himself. So it's not against giving honor. Get that right. He's against you seeking it above him. Above the honor that he gives. That says, seek first the what? Kingdom. Amen. Now, so, God gives us honor. Now, what makes God's honors so awesome? It's beautifully encapsulated in this scripture. The Lord just dropped in my heart and said, this is it. So I'm going to just say it. The Lord said it to me. Psalms 45, 6 and 7. Shikarabukosaka. Help the Lord. This is the honor that God gives. Only God can give. Only God can give. It cannot be duplicated. It cannot be faked. It cannot be approximated. Though men may try. Only God can do this. How many of you recognize who this was spoken to? Thy throne. Let's read it together. With understanding now. Thy throne. Oh God is forever and ever. Eternal. God's honors are eternal. Not just temporal, but eternal. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Next verse. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Those who know their scripture recognize this is what was given the Lord Jesus Christ when he returned to heaven, and they voted him a triumph, and he led all those who had been captive, and released all those who had released from captivity, all those who were in Abraham's bosom, whose time for the resurrection had come. Led them, and they said, thy throne, O God. But the point I'm trying to make is this. This is also reproduced for us, so that we can read it and know we have exactly the same reward if we do what the Lord Jesus did. It's an eternal thing. It's an eternal honor. There's no honor greater than this. God will make you God, or a God. It says, you're all gods and children of the Most High. He's already done that in the scripture. Potentially. Everyone, every human being is a God. Not God, but a God under God. A God like God. We cannot be God because we weren't there in the beginning. We were created, so ultimately cannot be God. We can be like God. So close to God as is possible to be that it will see no difference. Amen. And then he said, thy throne, give it back. He said, go back. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. An eternal throne. Hello, somebody. You don't believe me. All right. Give me Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Hello, somebody. A share in an eternal throne. I mean, this is the best thing. I think every human being, see, many times, maybe because we don't understand what God is saying. That's why God is having us preach some of this. It says, to him that overcometh will I, who is I? The Lord Jesus, not God, the Lord Jesus, to whom the original promise was given. He's saying that promise that God gave me because I sought the honor that comes from him only above the honor from men. Because he could not commit himself, because he knew what was in man. That honor, I am going to share with you too. Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What an honor. Is there anything that beats this? Can anything compare? Says to him that overcometh, I will overcome in Jesus' name. Oh, I don't know about you. This is my portion. Say it if you want it. By the way, what you call it to yourself is all mixed with what you have. Eh? I says, we have whatsoever you say. Me, I will overcome, oh, and I will attain this eternal honor. Says to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Oh boy, we don't know what we say. Ha, ah, Father, make the eyes open. Ha! Ah. Even as I overcame, and I am set in my Father, with my Father in his throne. Look at the line of responsibility, the line of authority. So what he's saying is, may the reality percolate into your heart. What he's saying is this: if you seek the honor that comes from God alone, you're going to have the same authority that Lord Jesus Christ has under the Father. The authority of the Godhead to be like Jesus is on earth. Not only then, but eternally. Amen. Only one amen. Amen. Very weak amen. Amen. An eternal honor. Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Once you sit on that throne, you are set. And no one, nothing, by the grace, Satan will be in the pit. See, that's what Satan saw. Say, how can a man sit on God's throne? Me too, I will exalt my throne there. That's what he saw. That's the problem. He saw, I've shortchanged myself. Oh, yeah. An eternal honor to sit as God with God in his throne forever. And you know the most marvelous thing about this? Oh, God, have mercy. You can taste it in this lifetime. Jai! Makarawa! Hebrews chapter 6 says, you can taste of the powers of the age to come in this lifetime. That's the honor that comes from God only. So, like the Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You can rule from the heavens here on earth. Only one amen. Well, it doesn't matter what you say. I'm preaching this because the Lord has asked me to. And I don't know if you see what I see, but I'm telling you folks that this is the greatest thing any man can be given. You're a man, you know. You're not God. But God has said, come and be God, like me. What else is bigger than that? What do you think you can have that can even approximate? What can man give us that can begin to approximate ruling with God in heavenly places forever, beginning now? I don't know. Eternally. That's the hallmark of the honor that comes from God only. It's eternal. Look at David. David honored God. God gave him a throne. David is still the landmark in the kings of Israel to this very day. The flag of Israel is called the Star of David. The church of the end time is called the Tabernacle of David because he honored God. And he sought the honor. He made a mistake. Don't be feeble. Everybody has their feebleness sometimes. But God doesn't look and looks at the heart. The pastor said yesterday, it's the heart that God's checking out. David, Abraham. Abraham too started feeble. But he got to the point where he understood that there's purpose. Thank you, Pastor Dave. There's purpose. And there's an honor that only God can give. Sacrificed the son that God gave because he trusted God to raise him up. He honored God. How many of us will lay down that thing? How many of us are laying down our Isaacs even as I speak? You will lay down your Isaac. I said you will lay down that Isaac. You will honor God with your Isaac. That's what he did. He became the father of faith, the father of many nations. Eternal honor written in scripture cannot be broken, cannot be erased. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about eternal honor. Or is it Moses? Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 11, 24, 6, it says, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What is that? Honor. In other words, he saw afar off what God was trying to do, and he respected it. It says he chose to suffer with the children of Israel rather than partake of the sins of Egypt for a season, because he sought the honor that came from God only. The whole pantheon of Hebrews chapter 11, those who baptized, they were sons, they went to great things because they chose to honor God, and they didn't let go, even unto death. Is it Paul? Apostle Paul. Pattern disciple. Two-thirds of the New Testament. Give me Philippians. I've got to read this one. Give me Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians 3:10. We're talking about eternal honor. Help me, Lord. That I may know him. This should be the cry. God taught me this a long time ago. There was a particular tape I listened to when I was, very baby Christian. Talking about the spirit that conquers. And this was what they kept on talking about. About Apostle Paul. This is one of the major passages that, just ingrained in my heart. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This is the price. That's why people don't like to pay. Wow. Be made conformable unto his death. How many want to die? Hello. You see, I caught all of you. I caught every single one of you here. Father, forgive me. Why does everyone want to die? Shall we praise the Lord? Hallelujah! I will die to the flesh, to self, but I will live unto God. That should have been your reaction. Everybody will caught out. It's good to clap now. Now I've told you the answer. This is the brother. Take up your cross daily. Nail yourself to that cross. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen to you. Be made conformable unto his death. Next verse. Hello, somebody. Next verse. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Next verse. I don't want to read this in Amplified. You can go read it later. It's mighty there. But I don't have the time. Not as though. Now, this is Paul. We're talking about what he did. He made a solid decision. Not as though I had already attained. This is Paul, that's Hebrew of Hebrews. Amen. So, at the feet of Gamaliel. This is Paul as a Roman citizen. One of the eminent, preeminent citizens of his time. Says, not as though I've already attained, now that I've already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Next verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now check this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14 is where I'm going to. I press. There's opposition. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the honor, the prize. The high calling of God in Christ. What's that honor? To be like Jesus. To rule and reign just exactly as he did. Amen? This is it, folks. The point is this. God wants his people, men, to have honor before men, but there's a way. God wants you to value. There's one particular phrase. It's in Luke chapters. One page where it talks about, those who go to the wedding. And he was watching all men. Men have that thing. When you tell men to go, they will go and find the biggest seat, the highest seat, in the wedding. The chief seats in the wedding. They'll go there. But he said, don't do that. Because somebody that is bigger than you, a more junk man than you, will come. After everybody has seated, and you're sitting and you're eating, they say, oh God, I beg you. I beg no verse, my brother. This man, this is not your place. Yeah, make you come. Just follow me. By that time, of course, all the chief seats have been taken. So now, as we shame, you now begin to go to the lower seat because somebody bigger than you. Say, go to the lower seat first. Let them now bring you up and honor you. But what do we see if you don't put them in the front row? While are they? Hello, somebody. These things ought not to be so. That's why they're written in the word for our admonition. Hello, somebody. God, and the word he used there says, God wants you to have worship among men. So God is even fixing to make you mighty in the eyes of men. Let him do it his way. What he says is you humble yourself. That's the principle. Man's way is to exalt himself like Satan. I will raise up myself. I will exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High. I will be like the stars of God. And God said, no, you ain't gonna. You will not be. That's what Satan does. And that's what most men because of the sin nature inside their hearts, inside their minds, will and emotions, that's what they will automatically do. But humility is God's way. And this is the underlying principle that helps us, that enables us to seek the honor that comes from Him. Amen? he's reading my message. Let's do that. Now, why is this important? Let's help him, Lord. The Lord is, why is it important, particularly to us? You know, I said earlier on that it's amazing that God would choose a nation like this with such grandiosity and desiring the gift, the honor that comes from men and all these flattering titles. Why did God choose a nation like Nigeria to now bring forth a humble people that will manifest the glory? Because you can't do it without humility. The key is humility. But out of this nation where so many people are proud, God is going to raise up a company of people. Why? Pastor's always saying that God always uses a worst case scenario. So Nigeria is the worst case. we have a very serious, fantastically, no, I didn't use that word. We desire the applause of men, the accolades that come from men. Amen? Why is it important now? Well, the reason is very simple. God is about to come to his temple. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. And he's about to make a distinction between those that serve him and those that serve him not. Verses 16 to 18, thereabouts. And if you look at this, the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 26, says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So God is saying to us, when you put these two scriptures together, that as he comes to his temple, he's going to separate those who serve him and those who serve him not. And those who serve him, now this is like we serve God with our spirits. Most of the service is spiritual service by the power of the Spirit. Amen. That's why most people don't do it, because to serve with God with your spirit, there's some things you have to throw aside to serve God effectively. Like Paul did, your spirit, or like the apostles. But so they give themselves continually to the word and prayer. Or to prayer and the word. Prayer comes before the word. Amen? But it says, those who serve me will be honored. And it is to these ones that are serving God by their spirit that God will now use and make a distinction in. God is going to honor these ones with a spirit without measure. And there's a reason why he's going to do this. Because when he does honor these people, he will now set them before the nation. As those who he has honored, he will set them before the nation as poplars. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Poplars. Genesis chapter 30. When Jacob was about to leave Laban's place, God gave him a means of transferring wealth from Laban to himself. God gave him that revelation. It wasn't something he dreamt of. God wanted to honor Jacob because he had humbled himself. God had used Laban to legba. I mean, to give him a solid, beating. Anyway, the essence is that he now took these poplars, these trees, and he peeled them and he set them before the sheep. And the Bible tells us, we're going to read it in a minute, but I'm just putting a scripture behind this. When the sheep now came to the trough to eat and to drink, they saw these poplars. It was a totally spiritual thing. In the natural, it doesn't make sense. You try putting striped sheep poplars before any sheep, they will still remain sheep. They will not change. But this was a spiritual operation. And that's exactly what it's about to do. Through those who serve him, whom he honors with the spirit without measure. There's going to be a spiritual transformation using them as a type. And they're coming from this nation, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers divide, as a testimony to the fact that even the most prideful nation, God can bring something good out of and use it to be an example for the rest of the world. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hello, someone. And the entire world is waiting. Bible calls them the manifest sons of God. The whole earth is waking. The whole world is travailing together, waiting for the manifestation of his sons who have the privilege to manifest the glory of God, first of all through the borrowed anointing, as they dwell under the covering of spiritual fathers who have obtained the Spirit without measure. Then the mind of Christ. Oh, Lord, have mercy. This is too good. Photographic memory. Incredible photographic memory. Incredible language and ability. Incredible computational capability. Incredible musical ability. Incredible art. All these incredibles. And you still have the Spirit without measure upon you. Miracles. Doing not just what Jesus did, but greater works. And then God is going to set them before Nigeria. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And then a man will see and say, surely God is in thee. They're not looking at God. They're looking at a man whom God has chosen to honor. Just like the Lord Jesus appeared to the Jews in Israel and said, look at me. This is what you're supposed to be. This is what God meant for you. This is what God has sent me to show you so you can become who I am. God is going to use these gentlemen, these ladies, these young men, kids, children. Children! Hey! May your children not get there before you. I'm serious. May your son or daughter say, Daddy, why can't you? Why didn't you cast that devil out? Why didn't you heal that woman? It's silent. God is in control. We know God is in control. Why couldn't you cast the devil out? He'll say, this is our God. This is our... Because they don't see something that is so close to God, there's no difference. This is our God. We have waited for him. Poplars. Now, God is in the process of raising up these poplars now. Now, what? And putting his honor upon them. Now, the Lord showed me something here which I want to submit, but I believe it's God. Because, God has this way of just picking out certain, I don't know how he does it to you, but that's what he does to me. Picks out certain words and he magnifies them. And he says, this is what's going on. I'm not going to set poplars before sheep only. I'm going to set poplars before the flock. Give me Genesis chapter 30, verse 32. I want to show you what a flock is. Genesis 30, verse 32. Help me, Lord. Are we getting something out of this? Help me, Lord. I will pass through all thy flock. Talking about, Laban. Laban's flock. Removing from thence all the speckled. Now, this is the flock. I will pass through all thy flock today. Removing from thence. What is thence? The flock. All the speckled and spotted cattle. Everyone say cattle. And all the brown cattle among the sheep. Everyone say sheep. And the spotted and speckled among the goats. Everybody say goats. The flock is sheep, cattle, and goats. Different levels of understanding. Sheep hear the voice. Goats, they just do what they want. I don't know about cattle. Bible talks about cattle that foul the ground with their feet. Different levels of understanding. But God is not going to do just for sheep alone. Now, give me Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. Quickly. Ezekiel 34, 31. So you know that the flocks is referring to all men. And ye, my, the flock of my, are what? All men. So what is happening? Help me, Lord. The Lord is going to raise up these poplars in the church. Give them the honor that God can only God can give. The Spirit without measure, the borrowed anointing. Upon all that, they will be akin to rule and reign in this time, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ in the throne as the Lord Jesus was on earth and he was ruling from heaven. They begin to do all these marvelous deeds that the Lord Jesus did and greater. Raising them up before the nation, before the church, and the entire nation. So they're not going to be hidden. So everybody, both born again, as well as not born again, all men, the entire flock, will see these poplars that God is raising up. And when they see them, different levels of husbandry, all of them will see, and then they say, surely this is God. This is our God. So in the church, they will change and they become like the populace. In the nation, they will change. In the presidency, they will change. In the executive, they will change. In the president, every aspect of national life, you see men turning from darkness to light. Because they now see the true representation of what God is doing. And guess what? Oh, Lord have mercy. They want to become like them. They will come and say, we want to be like you. That's why the Bible says, oh, help me, Lord. Give me, oh, where is it now? I want to see. Give me Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 10 first, and then we'll read verse 12 and 13. Look what's going on. This is us. This is what God is doing. Raising up these populace from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. My suppliers, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. Next verse. In that day thou shalt not be ashamed for the doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. Now, this is the operation. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou, who art thou? Who art thou? The church and the nation. And thou shalt no more be haughty. Why? 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 Because of my holy mountain. What has that got to do with being haughty? Hello, somebody. The influence that the Zion church exerts in the nation. Nigeria first, and then modularly replicated in all the earth. The influence of the Zion church says, the Lord will send forth the rod of his strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of their enemies. The carnal mind. Both in the church and the satanic mind outside the church. Amen? Bible says that, you know, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the what? To the pulling down of precepts of things, strongholds. Imaginations, the most wicked nation on the face of the earth. And then force, bringing everything subject, obedience to the will of Christ. That's what the Holy Mount is going to do. Hello? That's what they're going to do. So they're going to rule and reign. And they're going to bring pride to an end in the hearts of men. By the force of spiritual arms. Yes, some people will be disciplined. Yes, power will go forth to exert an influence over the atmosphere. So the prince of the power of the air can no longer operate, first of all, in the church. And then outside the church. 30-fold, 60-fold. 100-fold. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Samaria were brethren, but they were not. You know, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all the world for a witness before the end comes. That's what God is doing. That's why you need to seek the honor that comes from God alone. And the Bible says that when they see this, kings will come to the brightness of our rising. The nations will come to our light. Said they will come, they will bring their daughters and their sons from near and from afar. Because of the holy mountain. Now this is Acts, okay. Because of God's holy mountain set in this place. We will no more be haughty. Now, as a second witness, if you go to the book of Ezekiel also, there's a part there, I think it's Ezekiel 20, 34, 26, thereabouts, where it talks about, and all the places around my holy hill shall be a blessing. What has that got to do with Zion? What it means is that Zion, those people whom God has chosen to honor with a spirit without measure, with that honor that comes from God only, the spirit without measure, the manifest glory of God, they will, in their own locations, all over the nation. Yeah, this is it. Next verse. Yeah. And I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing. Everything. Zion is going to sanitize this nation. That's the job God has given you and I. And all those who are listening to this message, also. Amen. The Bible says we are to be epistles, known and read of all men. That's why God is building us up. Not just you can hide in. So folks, that's how when the glory comes, you're going to go. God is not going to build you up and then keep his SPCC forever. He's going to send you out so men can see you. And if it transforms the same light and say, behold, are you there? How did you do it? You tell them. You show them. You demonstrate to them. This is the greatest honor a human being can be given. to be God upon the earth and to share the throne of the Lord Jesus forever. God says we are to commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So this is the plan, folks. God is raising up pillars in the perfect Zion church, glorifying them, a people who's going to reward with the honor that only He can give, giving them the glory, the spirit without measure. And, hello, we are the first of the first fruits out of Nigeria. That's why this message is important to us. Amen? The honor of this glory is what will sanitize both the church, all this pride thing. God doesn't like it. It's anathetical to Him. By the time you discipline a few people, Nigeria will come a praise in the earth. Give me that. Ephesians, Zephaniah 33, verse 19 and 20. There's a sequence of events. Zephaniah 3, 19, which one? The last two verses, yes. 3, 19 and 20. Zephaniah, yeah. Behold, at that time, this time, I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that hold. How are you going to do it? Through the Zion church. Amen. Amen. And gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where we put to shame. That's our portion in Nigeria. But it's going to take you and I seeking the honor that comes from God only. And stamping the image of Christ the Lord into our hearts, into our image, manifesting His glory. Next verse. At that time, He repeats it for emphasis. God says the same thing again. I will bring you again, even the time that I gather you. I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes. This is where we're going, folks. Now, let's talk to Christ. Help me, Lord. How are we getting something out of this? Somebody's getting something out of this, I believe. Somebody's being inspired by this. And it's not difficult. It's only when you're still fighting against the flesh, but after a while, you know, if you stay consistent, after a while it becomes a delight. God begins to, you know, work in that flesh. Yes. Sometimes you may fall, but the Bible says the jealous man shall fall 7 times. But if he's willing to continue, if he doesn't give up and say it's too much, God will see you through and you will manifest the glory. Pastor's always encouraging us using the examples of the disciples. They had all kinds of problems. The same apostle that became the apostle of love, who they could not kill, who said, if a man keeps himself, the wicked one touches him. How did he know he had experienced it? He was walking in it. Was the one that wanted to kill everybody with fire. And he would have done it if God hadn't said, don't do it. Shall we call down fire from heaven and destroy them? You don't know what speech you have. The same apostle, the same person became the apostle of love. So it's not over till it's over. The only time it's over is when you give up. Amen. Seek first the kingdom, and every other thing will be added. This honor will be added. Amen. And so this process is going to replicate in every nation throughout the earth. But the test case, the laboratory, if you will, is Nigeria. The church of God in Nigeria. The first of the first fruits. And when it works, and it will work, when it works in Nigeria, it's going to be a... Don't worry. That's what you say every day. Don't look at lying vanities. Nigeria is going to be the spearhead of the end time revival. By the grace and mercy of God, Nigeria is a great nation. These are just teething problems. But when we arise, oh Lord have mercy, the lion of Judah will roar out of Zion. Then the whole world will see something they've never seen before. A people despised, they now become the apple of God's eye. Because they choose to seek the honor that comes from God only. Glory to God, somebody. So how do we do this? The honor that comes from God only. The honor only God can give, the spirit without measure, the ability to the mind of Christ, manifestation of glory. Proverbs 15:33. There's a baseline heart condition. Pastor, you quoted it just now. Proverbs 15:33. What saith it? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and before honor. How many people want this honor that comes from God only? It says, before honor is... You can't look again at Proverbs 18, verse 12. God repeats it again. Proverbs 18, 12. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word established. Before destruction, a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And this is why many people don't seek the honor that comes from God. Amen? People just don't. And you know what the thing about it is, that this same requirement is a requirement for believers as well as those who don't believe. Hello, somebody. An honest heart that obeys what truth has revealed. Any man can do that. Now, he may not do the right action, but in his heart, and it's the heart that God looks at. Like Abimelech, for example. The pastor's given that example so many times. You know, Abimelech or Cyrus. Cyrus was a heathen king. They didn't know God from here. But when the man read his name in the scripture, the man, he fell in line. Honored God because of truth that had revealed to him. And he was responsible for rebuilding or starting the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Cornelius, a heathen, the first man, first Gentile ever to get born again. Because he chose to honor God. He didn't know God. He just knew that there was a God, you know, that these Jews worship, and it seemed like the worship of God was profitable to them. So let him key in. And he just began to give alms, to do the right thing. How? His heart. The Bible says that, you know, it's not the, it's that how it says in the book of Romans, that, you know, that their hearts accusing, or I'm trying to remember that phrase in Romans. Romans chapter 2, where it talks about, it says it's the heart that accuses or excuses. Amen? And that if you do something in your heart, you know, that the Gentiles that have not the law, when they obey the law because of their hearts, their consciences, then it shows that that law is written upon their hearts. God has showed his law to every human being. Upon every created being's heart, God has written his name. Everybody has a conscience. The thing that most men do is that they put that conscience away, and gradually, over time, you come see it. That is about the life without sin. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's why you have to be born again. But every man knows what is right. Every man knows don't kill. Every man knows thou shalt not steal. Hello? So listen, so humility of the heart is the baseline condition for attaining to the honor that only God can give. 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility. Amen? Says in verse 6, they say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and as a consequence of that humbling yourself, you humble yourself, God will now exalt you in due season. Amen. Thank you. One amen. So, humility first, and then with humility of heart, we now honor God. By doing what? Bringing ourselves as an offering to the Lord. I don't want to go there, but let me just hit it running. God takes honoring him very, very seriously. How many remember Eli and his sons? God destroyed Eli and his entire generation. Took him out of the priesthood because he refused to honor God and honor the offerings of the people of God that were given to him. And God said, I'm just going to read that one verse. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20, thereabouts, where it talks about, you know, verse 30. 2:30. It says, wherefore, the God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. God had already given him an eternal honor. He and his generations. But look what happened. But now, the Lord said, this will not be your portion in Jesus' name. God changed his mind. Amazing. You know, we said the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God repented of this one. Because why? The man did not honor God. And he knew to do. But he favored his sons. God forbid! Favored his sons above God and his purposes and his offerings. Be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You will not despise God in Jesus' name. We will honor God. Oh. So how do we honor God? We honor God seeking the glory that comes from him only. Give me a scripture. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2. Quickly, we're going to close soon. Lord is shutting me down. Proverbs 25:2. Very familiar verse in this house. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God. Let's read together. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out It matters. So, it brings honor to kings to search out the word of God and the divine revelation of God, the hidden secrets of God in the word, and to fulfill it. Amen? And so we make the word, how do we honor God? Number one, three levels. First of all, we honor his word. We make the word of God final authority in our lives. Amen? Because God himself has magnified his word far above all his name. So we see the word as the final authority in everything that we do. And then we make sure we endeavor to keep the word. And in the doing of keeping the word, God will make himself manifest to us and will honor us. Amen. Give me John chapter 14 verse 21. Hello somebody. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be what? And what? And I will love him, and will what? Manifest myself to him. Give me verse 23. I'm trying to save time. Verse 23 of the same said, Jesus answers, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Now, not only the Father, but he and the Father will come to him and make our abode with him. Manifest presence of God. Because you keep the word. How do you keep the word? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Deuteronomy 30, 14. But the word is where? Nigh unto thee. In thy mouth. In thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So we keep the word of God in our heart, in our mouth. We release the power, and then we speak it, and we're not enabled to do it. The same thing, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law will not depart out of the mouth, but I shall meditate upon it, mind, heart, and thou shalt meditate upon it, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. So it's in mouth, heart, and then do all over again. This is how we keep the word. So by keeping the word in this way, we honor God, and as we do so, the Bible says his love is perfected in us. We become more and more like him. 1 John 2:5, whosoever keepeth the word in him verily, in him truly is the character, the love of God perfected. And so what do? By using the blood, the word, the power of the spirit through travailing prayer. Very important. These are things that we need to, of course, I'm sure we all know it, but it's very important that we repeat it so that we continue to do it as a matter of, diligence. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Travailing prayer. The Bible says, my little children of whom I travail, till Christ be formed in you. That is, as soon as Zion travails, she brought forth her children. Amen? And we make sure we're under submission too, and under the covering of apostolic, not just anybody's covering. You know there's a covering that is not of God's spirit. It says, woe to him that covers with a covering not of my spirit. So it's not everywhere where they have, quote unquote, elders or fathers that provides covering. Find a place where there is actually a covering. Not just flashed the emblem of one of the political parties and there are holes inside it. That's not, you don't want to go there. You can put up a covering, but if there are holes in it, the rain will beat you. It will not beat you in Jesus' name. Go and find a covering without holes. No subwantabi. Hello? Covering of spiritual fathers, apostolic, prophetic spiritual fathers. Amen? And then we use the blood, the word, and the spirit under their covering to cleanse out the sin nature. That says, cleansing out the sin nature from our souls and our flesh. Amen? And note this now, the degree to which you accomplish, or we accomplish this cleansing, is the same degree to which God can honor you with this honor that comes from him only. Case in point, where do you get evidence for this? Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41. Hello somebody. 1 Corinthians 15, 41. There is one glory of the sun. Another glory of the moon. Another glory of the stars. All these are different levels of the honor of God. The glory of the sun, or of the moon, or of the stars. And it says, for, because one star differeth from another in glory. What does that mean? It means that there are different levels of honor. depending on the degree to which you humble yourself and do these things we're talking about. Hello, somebody. The extreme negative one is Satan, who did not honor himself, who strove to raise his throne above the throne of God. And the other example on the other part of the spectrum is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, humbled himself, left his divine attributes, and became one of his creation. Extreme humility. That's why he is God, and he sits on the throne forever and ever and ever. And that's why he's a firstborn among many. That's why he has a name that's above every other. That's why he's exalted above every other, the first of the creation of God. Because of his extreme humility, humbled even unto death. Humbled unto death. And that's why God has rewarded him with a name that is above every other, that in the whole universe, in the entirety of creation, from eternity to eternity, the name of Jesus rules and reigns. Hello, somebody. Degrees. One star differeth from another in glory. The degree of your glorification, the degree of your honor will depend on the degree of the humility that you attain in this life and the cleansing of that sin nature out of our souls and our bodies. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the truth, folks. There's no way, there's no other. Okay, so we honor the Lord's word. Amen. If you read verse 40 also, it talks about, you know, different levels of glory. It talks about the level of the glory of the terrestrial. That's the glory of men. It talks about the glory of the celestial. That's the glory of God. Some search for terrestrial glory, the honor that comes from men only. But we will not search for that. We're going for the celestial glory, the glory that comes from God only. Hallelujah. Make your choice. Make your choice. Then too, we honor God personally. What does that mean? That means we must honor God in our lives personally by constantly acknowledging him. Pastors taught us beautifully to pray and commune with God after we've done our morning prayer, the battle prayer. Now throughout the day, we speak in tongues. We, you know, fellowship with God. We acknowledge him. The Bible says he's a shade upon our right hand. The Bible says, I have set you to it, not him. You will set the Lord at your right hand so you cannot be moved. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So everything we do, we have the conscious presence of the Lord Holy Spirit. As I'm speaking to you, I'm talking to God in my heart. He's there. He's the one that's helping me. I'm not doing this by myself, by the grace of God. He's the one that's been there all afternoon long, all night long when I was asking God, what do I say? Talking to God, what do you want me to say? Okay, what's the next thing? Okay, I've written this now. What's next? That's how it is. So you must be swift to hear. And that's the problem many times. The difficulty we have is hearing and doing. I love mommy. You know, mommy was saying the other day that God was so, you know, sharing with her. I was telling her that the reason why God is able to move through her so quickly is because as soon as mommy hears a word, she just runs instantly to obey. That's how we should be. As soon as you hear, I hear and I obey. The Lord Jesus says, I hear and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of God. The same. Once that will is made certain, once that will is made clear, he moves to obey. That's how we should be. That's how we honor him. Because he's always there, you see. We respond to his promptings and nudgings. We don't let God have to beat us over the head. Say amen, somebody. And then only that, we also prioritize ministering unto him. And he gave the example of the sons of Zadok. How do you know the sons of Zadok? The sons of Zadok prioritized the ministry to God above everything else. Give me Ezekiel. I want to read all of it. Just Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 15 and 16. Help me, Lord. I'm closing soon. Ezekiel 44, yeah, 15 and 16. It says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons, how many are priests here? How many are Levites here? This is talking to you and I. The sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary, honoring me, and seeking, I'm adding that as a paraphrase, honoring me and seeking the honor that comes from me only, when the children went astray from me, looking for the honor of men to minister to the house. that's the difference between the sons of Zadok and all the other people that was also priests and Levites. These ones sought the honor that came from God by seeking to honor him and to minister to him. Look what the Lord says. When the children of Israel went away from me, now they, who are they? The sons of Zadok. They shall come near to me. They shall come to minister to me. They shall stand before me. Hello, somebody. God is telling us something here. He's saying that he is jealous of the ministry of his saints to him personally. He says, they shall come to me. They shall stand before me. Offer to me the fat of the blood, says the Lord God. What's he saying? Me. I am your first love. I am your first person to honor. Not the house, not the sons of men, me first. Then, if you notice, the sons of men also minister to the house. But those who minister to the house and didn't minister to the Lord first, God said, I've raised up my hand against them. Let them continue to minister to the idol. That will not be your portion. So we honor him with our ministration. We minister to him in all things. Then we also honor him with our tithes and offerings. Give me Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. We all know about that anyway. I'm just saying it. Amen. And if you have not been honoring with your tithes and offerings, then, you know, it's a wake-up call. God takes it seriously. Honor the Lord. Hello, somebody. Somebody here. Honor the Lord. With what? That is your money. And it has to be, it should be substantial. Whenever you, of course, according to what God gives you. God says, accept it according to not what a man doesn't have, but according to what he has. But if you have the ability to honor the Lord, do it substantially. With the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presence shall burst with new wine. Amen. Revelation knowledge. Amen. You will not lack. You honor the Lord. Bible says that, Lord, will a man rob God? How do you rob God? Taking tithes and offerings. You will not be a robber in Jesus' name. And then I also want to add this, my own personal thing. The Lord dropped to my heart. Watch out for your attitudes in God's presence. Many of us make that mistake. Sometimes we're praying and people are walking all over the place. Now, that has diminished to a great extent. But you notice that whenever I pray by the grace of God in the mornings, I'm preaching or anything, I always say, stop moving. That's what Pastor taught us way back. The old people, the people who have been here for a while, they never come in while we're praying. If you notice, all the grandmas, they stay there. Now, occasionally they'll come and sit here, but they do it reverentially. It's the young people, the new guys, they just, be careful. Be very circumspect in this day. One day the glory is going to appear, and that will not be possible. It will not be right. Now, you know, this attitude of when you're in God's presence, you're just sitting cross-legged. If Buhari was sitting in front of you cross-legged, everybody's looking at me funny. I say, if Muhammadu Buhari, when you are sitting in Aso Rock, you are waiting for Buhari to come, and then he appears, the first thing you want to do is cross your leg and oh, kak from president. You won't do that. Hello? Attitude. Little things that give away your heart condition. Be careful. All right, we won't believe that. We're closing. Finally, we honor God by honoring the ministers he sends to us. Now, I could have titled this message, Seeking Humility. Because that's what brings us into the honor that God only gives. But if I said Seeking Humility, everybody will shut down. That's why I said Seeking Honor. Everybody wants honor. Hey, okay. How do you seek honor? By seeking humility. By first of all humbling yourself. Amen? We honor the ministers he sends to us. We give them the same reverence. And I made bold to say that. That we will give God where God hears himself. And he is here. And he's watching what you say and what you think. Particularly what you think when the ministers are preaching. Or when they're making a point. When they're giving a prophetic word. Or when they arrive on your doorstep. Give me Matthew 10 verse 40. Quickly. We'll close with this. Matthew 10 40. This is Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He that received you receives me. He that receives me receives he that sent me. See, the line goes all the way back to the top. Receive the man of God, you receive him that sent me and God that is behind him. If you despise him in your heart, touch not my prophets and do them no harm. Not even in your heart. Not even in your thoughts. God is watching those thoughts. Do we understand? Do we get what I'm saying? Are we hearing these things? Very important. So you submit to them and you obey them. Hebrews 13:17. Hello. And then the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 12 and 13 says, you know them and you esteem them not highly. No, not highly. Very highly. That word is there. Go point out that word. Say, stress that word. So you're not just going to esteem them anyhow. You're esteeming them very highly for their work's sake. That's the admission of the Lord to us. So you don't just think of them anyhow. You are reverencing them as you would were God here. And he's here. The Bible says in 1 John 4:20, it says, how can you love God? I say you love God. If I ask anybody, do you love God? Everybody put their hands up. But says you cannot love the God you cannot see if you don't extend the same love to the man that you do see, who is made in the image and likeness of God and who is over you as a representative of God. Do we understand? So we reverence God. We give him honor three levels. At his word, we honor him personally. We honor the people of God that he sends unto us. Amen. And so this is it. The Bible says if we do these things, we will do the things, we will not only obey his commandments, but also we will be doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. And ultimately, that's how we honor God. Just please him. Desire to please him. And the more you desire to please him, the more he will show you how. The more he begins to open himself unto you. The more he begins to reveal what is his mind, what his likes are, his dislikes, the things that you do that you should not do that grieve him. And then you and God become friends. And then it's not a deal anymore. It's just you two lovers communing one with another. This is where God is taking us. And so when the time comes, you'll be one of the first to get the honor that comes from him only. The spirit without measure, the borrowed anointing under covering. And then you'll be doing the things that God has spoken from since time began. The things that the Lord Jesus did and greater things. Because you choose to honor him. Amen. God will move men to honor you. But will also bestow upon you this honor that only he can give. The glory, the spirit without measure, and the mind of Christ. Let's seek the honor that comes from God only. And the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So begin to speak to the Lord. You've heard so much today, and I trust the Lord has been able to say these things, you know. And we attitude you ought to add. We say, Lord, what shall we say to these things? Help me, Lord. And he's very willing to help anybody who humbles himself. That's the key thing. That's why I said I could have named this message Seeking Humility, because humility is the key. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has received the highest honor possible and who has also called us up to partake of that honor. But we have to come to it in exactly the same way as he did, by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that in due season, he'll exalt us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. I know many of us are doing these things already, and we want to just thank God for that. Thank God for the leadership and the covering of the house, the fathers of the house. They are following after Christ, and we also follow them and learn from their example. And the things that they do, we desire to be able to do them better and better with greater efficiency, greater proficiency, and honor God with our hearts, honor God through his word, honor him personally, and also honor the people he has set above us. Amen. And he will in turn cause men to honor us, and he will then also honor us with the glory of the Spirit without measure, the mind of Christ, and be manifested sons in the earth. Let's ask the Lord to have mercy upon us. Let's commit ourselves afresh to these things, for the time of the manifestation is near. This is my heart's desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
All I have
celebration.
Every moment I'm away.